listening to مركز الصحابة, the voice of أهل السنة والجماعة.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. أهلا وسهلا ومرحبا بكم, and welcome to the show, the midday show with myself, Brother Suleiman Yusuf, every Tuesdays, Wednesdays and Thursdays between 10 and 11 a.m. Today being the 22nd, the 21st of Dhul Hijjah, 1446, corresponding to Wednesday, the 18th of June, 2025. Alhamdulillah, it's a beautiful, beautiful day in Johannesburg. The sun is out. You know, in the mornings we have a little bit of nippy weather, but Alhamdulillah, Allah Ta'ala has blessed us with beautiful, beautiful weather. Alhamdulillah. We are at the threshold and almost towards the end of our Islamic new year, Islamic year, and we will be entering the Mubarak month of Muharram of 1447, and we will be entering 1447, and you know, with the sacred month of Muharram, and we'd like to introduce and we'd like to discuss the important historical events that occurred during the month of Muharram. Muharram is, as we always know, the first month of the Islamic calendar, and we know we follow the lunar calendar, not the solar calendar. We follow the Islamic calendar, not the Gregorian calendar. Muharram is the first month of the Hijri calendar. It's not the beginning of a new year. You know, we don't celebrate New Year, but rather it's one of the four sacred months declared by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Noble Quran. In Surah Tawbah, Allah Ta'ala says that indeed the number of months with Allah is 12, of them 4 are sacred. These sacred months are times of peace when war and hostilities were once forbidden, but they are also times when sins were more serious, but also good deeds and good a'mal are multiplied. So we should try to take advantage of these Mubarak months, you know, Muharram, Dhul Hijjah, Rajab, Sha'ban, and every month is Mubarak in its way, but these four sacred months were mentioned in the Noble Quran. So we must try to reflect on our life, on our previous life, or on a previous year, that is the 14, now we're currently in 1446, and we're entering into 1447. As we enter into 1447, we need to understand and we need to do some introspection. And look at our life and how we are going to change our life for the betterment, and what can we do as Muslims, to as mu'min and the believing in oneness and Almighty Allah, that how can we change our life in this year, in this coming year to come, like, you know what, when what we did in the previous year, like 1446, and how can we change it in 1447? And the month of Muharram holds a very special place. Even the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam had called this month the month of Allah. Today we take a journey through its virtues, its history, and its deep spiritual lessons. So inshallah, don't go away. It's 11 minutes past 10 Central African time, and we're going to be going straight into it, and going to be discussing the importance of the month of Muharram.
أشرقت نفسي بنور من فؤادي حينما رددت يا رب العباد, وانتشت روحي وصار الدمع يجري يا إلهي خذ بقلبي من رشادي.
أشرقت نفسي بنور من فؤادي حينما رددت يا رب العباد, وانتشت روحي وصار الدمع يجري يا إلهي خذ بقلبي للرشاد.
حينما رددت يا رب العباد منتشت روحي وصارت دمع يجري يا إلهي خذ بقلبي من رشادي
في سكون الليل أدعو في سجودي والدجى حولي سواء في سوادي يا رؤوفا يا رحيما يا حليما يا كريما ما لفضلك من نفادي
يا سميعا يا مجيبا يا عظيما
يا خالق السبع الشهاد
أشرقت نفسي بنور من فؤادي حينما رددت يا رب العباد وانتشت روحي وصارت دمع يجري يا إلهي خذ بقلبي من رشادي أشرقت نفسي بنور من فؤادي حينما رددت يا رب العباد وانتشت روحي وصارت دمع يجري يا إلهي خذ بقلبي من رشادي
للهدى والحق وفقني إلهي فعلى توفيقك اليوم اعتمادي يا إله الكون يا عوني وغوثي يا ملاذ الخلق في يوم المعادي
أنا يا ربي أرجو منك
عفو عن ذنبي وحقق لي مرادي
حينما رددت يا رب العباد وانتشت روحي وصارت دمع يجري يا إلهي خذ بقلبي من رشادي.
You are listening to Merkez al-Sahaba, the voice of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah.
And welcome back to our show, and we are discussing the importance of the month of Muharram. Alhamdulillah, it's a beautiful month indeed. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that the best of fasting after the month of Ramadan is the month of Allah, and that is the month of Muharram. So we're going to be discussing and going into and showing how beloved this month is to Allah, and it is a spiritual elevation when fasting brings immense reward. And you know, when we're fasting, even the month of Ramadan, or even when we're keeping the nafil, the sunnat fast of Mondays and Thursdays, we notice that during the day, our day, that when we are keeping our fast, it brings so much peace and sukoon to our heart. It brings so much peace and sukoon to our heart that it tells us and it helps us to control, you know, all our desires, all our nafs that we go on a daily basis, and it brings us closer to Almighty Allah, and it helps us rejuvenate ourselves and brings us closer to Allah. You know, we bring back, tend to read more Quran, and we are more calm in that sense, you know. So Alhamdulillah, it's a beautiful, beautiful month indeed. And also keeping fast, you know, on the 9th, the 9th and the 10th, or the 10th and 11th of Muharram, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala emancipated and helped and assisted Nabi Musa alayhi salatu wasalam when it came to Fir'aun. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that on this day they found the Jews in Medina fasting. When they asked him, why are you fasting on this day? And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they said to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that this is the day that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saved Musa alayhi salatu wa sallam and the children of of Israel from Fir'aun. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam responded by saying that we are more deserving of Musa alayhi salatu wa salam than them, and ye too fast during the day, commanding the Ummah to do so. So that is on the 10th of Muharram. So we should fast either on the 9th and the 10th, or the 10th and 11th of Muharram. And it will fasting on the day of Ashura, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive the sin of the previous year. And this is narrated in Muslim. So inshallah, let Allah ta'ala give us the tawfiq, give us the hidayat to practice upon this act. Either let us keep fast on the 9th and 10th, or 10th or 11th of Muharram.
أشرقت نفسي بنور من فؤادي حينما رددت يا رب العباد، وانتشت روحي وصار الدمع يجري، يا إلهي خذ بقلبي من رشادي.
أشرقت نفسي بنور من فؤادي حينما رددت يا رب العباد، وانتشت روحي وصار الدمع يجري، يا إلهي خذ بقلبي للرشاد.
حينما رددت يا رب العباد، وانتشت روحي وصار الدمع يجري، يا إلهي خذ بقلبي من رشادي.
في سكون الليل أدعو في سجودي، والدجى حولي سواد في سوادي، يا رؤوفا يا رحيما يا حليما يا كريما، ما لفضلك من نفادي.
يا سميعا يا مجيبا يا عظيما،
يا خالق السبع الشهاد.
أشرقت نفسي بنور من فؤادي حينما رددت يا رب العباد، وانتشت روحي وصار الدمع يجري، يا إلهي خذ بقلبي من رشادي. أشرقت نفسي بنور من فؤادي حينما رددت يا رب العباد، وانتشت روحي وصار الدمع يجري، يا إلهي خذ بقلبي من رشادي.
للهدى والحق وفقني إلهي، فعلى توفيقك اليوم اعتمادي، يا إله الكون يا عوني وغوثي، يا ملاك الخلق في يوم المعادي.
أنا يا ربي أرجو منك عفوا،
أعفو عن ذنبي وحقق لي مرادي.
حينما رددت يا رب العباد، وانتشت روحي وصار الدمع يجري، يا إلهي خذ بقلبي من رشادي. أشرقت نفسي بنور من فؤادي حينما رددت يا رب العباد، وانتشت روحي وصار الدمع يجري.
فلستم من أمتي. Whose fatwa is this? This is not AK's fatwa or AK-47's fatwa. This is the fatwa direct from Imam Zainul Abidin. فلستم من أمتي. You don't belong to this ummah.
Q&A. Send us your question on 084-786-3132.
ما رددت يا رب العين الذي سیدے کونین تیرے جانساروں کو سلام سیدے کونین تیرے جانساروں کو سلام یعنی گردون نبوت کے ستاروں کو سلام انبیاء کے بعد شہرا ہے انہی کے نام کا ان حجازی غازیوں کو شاہ سواروں کو سلام سید کونین تیرے جانساروں کو سلام جن کی ہے بس لرز تھے کفر کے ایوان تھے جن سے لرزا شام روما فارس ویران تھے ان خلافت راشدہ کے تاجداروں کو سلام ان خلافت راشدہ کے تاجداروں کو سلام سید کونین تیرے جانساروں کو سلام جن کا حملہ دشمنوں کو موت کا پیغام تھا اس زمین پر کفر جن سے لرزے بردام تھا حق کے خوش نودی کے مخلص خواستگاروں کو سلام حق کی خوش نودی کے مخلص خواستگاروں کو سلام سید کونین تیرے جانساروں کو سلام سید کونین تیرے جانساروں کو سلام جب کہیں باطل سے ٹکرا تھے حق کے پاس با حق پرستوں کے تماشے دیکھ
You are listening to Markaz al-Sahaba, the voice of Ahl al-Sunnah wal-Jama'ah.
That's right, my respected listeners of Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, a beautiful show, a beautiful day indeed. Like we were discussing, we do apologize for the transmission, breaking transmission. But, you know, we have some, sometimes we have gremlins in our show, in our programs. So we make dua, Allah Ta'ala makes it easy for us, inshallah. Ameen, Ya Rabbil Alameen. So like we were discussing, the onset and the beginning of our new year, that is the month of Muharram. But what truly sets Muharram apart and making it the starting point of our entire calendar is the momental event of Hijrah. Now this Hijrah refers to the blessed migration of our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and that was from Makkah al-Mukarramah and Madinah al-Munawwarah. And before the break, we were discussing also the 9th and 10th and the 10th of and 11th of Muharram, where the Jews kept fast on the 10th of Muharram because they commemorate the day that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had freed Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, and he freed Musa alayhi salatu wasalam from the tyrant Fir'aun. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ordered us that we should either fast on the 9th and 10th or 10th and 11th of Muharram. Indeed, the lessons abound in every moment of our Islamic calendar. As we begin to conclude our discussion, let's consider the broader timeless takeaways from the sacred month of Muharram for all of us as Muslims living in this beautiful country. May this new Islamic year of 1447, inshallah, be one of immense peace, prosperity, spiritual growth, forgiveness of all our sins, and countless blessings for all of us, for all our families, and also remember the entire ummah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, our brothers and sisters that are suffering in Gaza. And you know, alhamdulillah, we say alhamdulillah, you know, the Iranians are attacking the apartheid Israelis with the missiles, you know, today is day 5. And we make dua that Allah Ta'ala makes them victorious. Ameen. And you don't forget our brothers and sisters in India, administrative Kashmir, and all over, even the Sham and Oman, Yemen, wherever our Muslim brothers are suffering, India, Pakistan, we make dua that Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala alleviates their pain and suffering. Ameen, Ya Rabbil Alameen. Inshallah, we're going to go for our, now it's gone 10:30 Central African time, and inshallah, we're going to be going for our lecture segment that we play from 10:30 to 11. So inshallah, I hope that you do enjoy this lecture, inshallah. If you have any questions or any comments that you'd like to make, you can send in on the numbers 084-786-3132, international and overseas listeners, +27 84-786-3132.
You are listening to Markaz al-Sahaba, the voice of Ahl al-Sunnah wal-Jama'ah.
أشرقت نفسي بنور من فؤادي حينما رددت يا رب العباد، وانتشت روحي وصار الدمع يجري، يا إلهي خذ بقلبي من رشادي. أشرقت نفسي بنور من فؤادي حينما رددت يا رب العباد، وانتشت روحي وصار الدمع يجري، يا إلهي خذ بقلبي للرشاد. حينما رددت يا رب العباد، وانتشت روحي وصار الدمع يجري، يا إلهي خذ بقلبي من رشادي. في سكون الليل أدعو في سجودي، والدجى حولي سواد في سوادي، يا رؤوفا يا رحيما يا حليما، يا كريما ما لفضلك من نفادي، يا سميعا يا مجيبا يا عظيما، ردني يا خالق السبع الشهاد. أشرقت نفسي بنور من فؤادي حينما رددت يا رب العباد، وانتشت روحي وصار الدمع يجري، يا إلهي خذ بقلبي من رشادي. أشرقت نفسي بنور من فؤادي حينما رددت يا رب العباد، وانتشت روحي وصار الدمع يجري، يا إلهي خذ بقلبي من رشادي. للهدى والحق وفقني إلهي، فعلى توفيقك اليوم اعتمادي، يا إله الكون يا عوني وغوثي، يا ما
على خلق في يوم المعاد
أنا يا ربي أرجو منك عفو
عن ذنبي وحقق لي مراد
حينما رددت يا رب العباد وانت
You are listening to Markaz al-Sahaba, the voice of Ahl al-Sunnah wal-Jama'ah.
Tasliman kathiran ila yawm al-deen amma ba'd. As Muharram has begun, which is the first month of the Islamic calendar, it's a good idea to speak about some things that are related to this. Firstly, some of you may have received some Muharram Mubaraks and New Year Mubaraks, and you know, people have this new... because they have so many texts available, what they do is they're sending out all of these texts, Jumu'ah Mubarak and Muharram Mubarak and all of these things. Now, per se, there's really nothing wrong with saying that, because Mubarak just means be blessed. So essentially, it's like a dua saying, may your year be blessed, may your Friday be blessed, and so on. However, making a tradition of it is where I see the problem. Making a tradition of it is where I see the problem, because it's like, you know, you're going to expect others to say the same thing to you, you're going to say that to others, and so on. It's completely fine to give a dua. The thing about the new year and so on, really, the Islamic year, I don't really see any significance of when it starts and when it ends, because it doesn't matter, because people are not necessarily born on the first of the month of the Islamic year, and thus it, you know, signals anything for us. I think that seems to be from a Western perspective, that wish somebody a new year resolutions and all the rest of it. I mean, we're just kind of Islamicizing it in a sense and saying that, you know, may your year be blessed and so on, which is nothing wrong with giving somebody a dua, but I don't really see the point of the significance of doing it on the first of the Islamic year, because really the Islamic year, it has nothing to do with the birth of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam or the death of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It's actually got something to do with his migration. But the thing is that whenever we speak about the Islamic calendar or the first of the month of Muharram, the first of the, you know, the day, first day in the Islamic calendar, we probably don't even have in our minds the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's migration. So, and the other thing you have to realize is that we're born in different months. You know, you could have been born in Muharram, you could have been born in January, February, March, April, May, whenever. Most of us probably don't even know the month that we were born in Islamic sense. I mean, if we were to ask most of us here today, right, what month were you born on? What Islamic month and what Islamic year you were born in? I mean, most of us won't even know that. I think that's probably more important to realize, because the milestones in our life, you know, when it's said that you become you're a youth from when you're a teen to when you're about 33 years of age, according to Ibn Jawzi, for example, 33 years of age, most of us are going to go by and go by the Gregorian system that we normally realize. However, the Islamic way, you're actually going to be 33 earlier. Or for example, the age of 40 is when the mind matures, when a person becomes more mentally mature and more settled in that regard. And again, most people are going to wait until they're 40 Gregorian, which because they're longer years, 365 days as opposed to 355 days, you're actually going to be 40 before you're 40 in what we consider the normal sense. So I think the Islamic year is important to know about for certain reasons, as Ramadan and Muharram and Dhul Hijjah and the Hajj and all of the rest of it, and Rabi'ul Awwal when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was born, and in that sense. But really, we're born in different months, and for us, it doesn't really matter what month comes. If it's a month of virtue, then we take that into consideration. Now, Rabi'ul Awwal is not the only month that's virtuous. There are 4 months in the year that are considered virtuous, and Muharram is one of those months, right? And in Muharram, the great thing about Muharram is that it has that one day which is considered the 10th of the month, the Ashura. Ashura literally comes from the word Asha, which means 10, and Ashura refers to the 10th day of the month. Now, there were certain things that happened on this day, as There's lots of things that are related about what happened on this day. Some are authentically narrated and others are not. Probably the most authentic narration about what happened on that day is that the Prophet ﷺ came to Medina Munawwara and he saw that the Jews were fasting on this day. So he wondered, why you're fasting? Now in that time, it seemed that the Jews were still following the lunar calendar, as the Muslims follow the lunar calendar, going by the months. You know, when you see the moon, which means that the month will be 29 to 30 days. So they probably had the same sequence as us, as Muslims. So they told him that this is a day when Musa ﷺ was safeguarded or protected from the Pharaoh. He was delivered from the Pharaoh and his army, and Pharaoh was caused to drown on this day, because that's when they drowned in the river. And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, well, Musa alayhi salam is our prophet. What he said was that nahnu ahq, we're even more entitled to Musa. We're going to follow that sunnah. So he said, I'm going to fast that. But he also said that next year, if I remain until next year, I'm going to fast the ninth as well, which means that it's an encouragement to do 2 days, because you don't want to copy the tradition of another nation totally and completely, though you want to take the benefit of it. So the Prophet ﷺ said, we'll add one extra day. So the ulama have mentioned that you can either add 9 and 10 or 10 and 11. However, there's also another opinion among some ulama, like Maulana Manzoor Nu'mani, who wrote the Ma'arif al-Hadith, a great work, great scholar. What he said, and which is really true, which I discovered later as well, that the Jews no longer follow the lunar calendar. They follow a kind of a, they've kind of following a solar calendar, you know, just to make sure that the dates they do things are more predictable, in line with other dates like Christmas and so on. So I remember when it's our Ashura, I mean, we obviously in a very, very heavily populated Jewish area, very Orthodox Jewish area as well. So it's not, you know, just secular Jews, but they're very Orthodox. And we don't really see them making a big deal about this particular day. And I actually talked to one of the, it was either a rabbi or one of the counselors about this. And I think it was a rabbi, and they have it on a different day. So they've actually turned it around into a different day, which is kind of a set day every year. So based on that, what some of the ulama are mentioning now is that if you cannot fast 2 days, because the Prophet's whole purpose of telling people to fast for 2 days was to do differently to what the Jews had been doing at the time. So it wasn't like we're just following another nation. You know, this is a big misconception that many of the earlier Orientalists used to bring up all the time. It was their perspective, and it was this big thesis among them that the Muslims, the religion of Islam, it literally just took things from Christianity and from Judaism, from the Old Testament, from the New Testament, and it kind of just regurgitated it or revised it in a particular way, and it's just literally a reformation of that. Or it's all taken from that, its sources are that. And what they don't understand is that many things that we do, that the Christians and Jews may also do, they're just human things that people do, just human ethics and so on. Just because they're very similar in some aspects of ethics and maybe in some laws and maybe in some sorts of prohibitions or some sort of ethics and encouragement, it doesn't mean that one has to come from the other. These are just things that go back to a natural source that the humans have been following for a very long time. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has confirmed those things and emphasized those things. So based on this, you can understand from this hadith that the Prophet ﷺ wants to oppose what they were doing and not follow it completely. So now what the ulama mentioned, that since the Jews no longer fast on this particular day, it's no longer also necessary, or it was never necessary anyway, but it's no longer even so important that you should fast 2 days. However, because Prophet ﷺ said so, we're still encouraged to fast 2 days, especially in these days when it comes in this month of November, right, where the days are so small. I mean, in the UK, it's going to be 4 o'clock, right? Your iftar is going to be around 4 o'clock to 4:10. And the suhoor, the starting is going to be really early as well. So it's very easy to fast the 2 days, right? And plus, it's to do with the weekend as well. So inshallah, it'll be very easy. So it's completely fine to fast for 2 days. But it's also permissible for those who can't make the 2 days to fast for 1 day. There's nothing wrong with that. And that's why the ulama mentioned there shouldn't even be any karaha. There should not be even any undesirability in doing that, right? And there should be no undesirability in doing that either. So that's just to clarify that point. Now, one of the benefits of this day, which I'm sure, you know, we hear about this every year, one of the greatest benefits of this day is that we find the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Before Ramadan was made obligatory, the Ashura, the 10th of the day of Muharram, was first made obligatory according to some narrations. So therefore, Muslims fasted on this day first. But when Ramadan became necessary, became obligatory, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the verses about Ramadan, then this day, the Ashura, no longer was necessary. It became a sunnah. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, though, continued to fast this day every year. And that's the thing. And then in the hadith of Muslim, the benefit is, just like with the day of Arafah fast, although there, the reward is doubled, in the sense that there the Prophet ﷺ said that I hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that anybody who fasts this day of Arafah, the previous 1 year sins are forgiven and also a future 1 year sins are forgiven. In this one though, the hadith mentions only for the previous year, that your previous year sins are forgiven. But that's great anyway, because that means our minor sins of the previous years are forgiven. And if you make some tawbah on that day as well, our major sins can also be forgiven. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq. And finally, another important point about this which needs to be clarified is that there is a tradition in some communities to cook certain types of food. Now, let's understand where that, you know, how that comes about. Essentially, there are some narrations. For example, one narrated by Bayhaqi and others. They're all weak when you look at them individually, right? They're all weak when you look at them individually. But what it relates to is that man wassa'a ala 'iyalihi yawma 'ashura, whoever has widespread generosity on his family on that day. So that's what the tawfiq, that's what it says, at-tawsi'atu 'ala al-'iyal yawma 'ashura, which means to be wide and generous on that day, right? To be expansively generous on that day, which means to not just buy one thing, but to be generous in many aspects, right? It's tawsi'ah, wus'ah. Wus'ah means to be broad, right? To have lots of space. Lots of bandwidth, right? That's what you call wus'a. And tawsi'a means to give that kind of bandwidth to somebody else, to give that kind of opening, that kind of room to others. And what most people, they think is that, you know, you maybe just order some food on that day from the restaurant, from the takeaway or something like that, and you feed your family, right? So the wife doesn't have to cook. Well, that could be one aspect of it, but don't limit it to that. What the ulama mentioned, that this could be in everything. This could be in many different things, right? So, for example, Allama Nahlawi, what he mentions is he says that this can be considered mustahab mandub. It's not a sunnah, but it's a mustahab because this hadith aren't so strong. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what he said was that man wassa'a ala 'iyalihi man wassa'a ala 'iyalihi wa ahlihi yawma 'ashura fa awsa'a Allahu alayhi sa'ira sanatihi, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will treat him like this with expansive kindness. So I think that's a good translation, expansive kindness. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will treat him with this kind of expansive generosity and kindness for the whole year. Right? So that's what the hadith mentions. Imam Bayhaqi relates this from Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu. Ibn Rajab al-Hanbali has mentioned this as well in his Lata'if al-Ma'arif. But the main thing is that many ulama of the past, they actually tested this out. They did this. They acted upon it. Even though it's based on a weak narration, right? It's okay to follow it. Because it's just a virtuous act that we're following. It's not about legislating something on someone, making something necessary and obligatory on someone. It's not an aqidah issue, and neither is it an issue of obligating something in fiqh. It's literally about virtuous thing, and it's a good thing to spend on one's family anyway, regularly, normally. Whatever we spend, if you spend it with the right intention, it's permissible. And it's not just permissible, it's actually virtuous to do so. But it becomes even more virtuous on this day because then Allah has blessings on you for the whole year. And Sufyan ibn Uyayna, who was one great hadith scholar that you'll see him in the chains of many narrations, right, related by all of these great hadith collectors, right, great hadith scholars. He said that, I have tried this, jarrabnahu, I have tested this, tried this, practiced this on this expansive kindness on the day of Ashura for 50 years. منذ 50 سنة, for 50 years. And فما رأيناه إلا خيراً, and فما رأينا إلا خيراً, the only thing that we found from it is all excellence. That we actually found it to work. So that's something. But again, the fasting is more important. The fasting has greater reward. This is an additional thing, right? This is an additional thing, especially for the breadwinner of the family, right? Normally considered the father, right? The man of the house. That it's normally... Now what Nahlawi mentions here is that in understanding this narration, he says that it is mustahab to do this expansive spending and generosity on the family on this day, both in foods, in clothing, and in anything else. So it should not be just restricted to food. It could be food, clothing, it could be anything else, right? Where you just spend a bit more on that day, be a bit more expansive in that regard. And one very interesting thing that he notes here, he says, وَمِمَّا يَسْتُقُ عَلَيْهِ التَّوْسِعَ One thing that the word tawsi'ah, which means this expansive spending on the family, includes, he says, is istimalu anwa'in min al-hubub, to use, and subhanAllah, very interesting, he says, to use a variety of different types of seeds and lentils, legumes as you call them, right? So which means in Urdu or whatever you call them, dals, you know, different types of dals. So, you know, I'm not sure if there's a tradition of making kichro on this day, as they call it, you know, which is like this mixture of different types of lentils. It's supposed to be healthy for you because just it's all these multigrain. It's essentially a multigrain broth. That's what it is, right? So he says that this could refer to this kind of multigrain soup that or broth that somebody makes, right? Now, again, this is just his understanding. It's just his opinion. This is not to say that we're trying to make a kichro or something like that, this multigrain broth, a sunnah on this day. It's not a sunnah to do this in the first place. It's just a mustahab anyway, to start with, right? There's these additional benefits to it. But I think where he's coming from is that normally, right? Normally, people, especially in the times of zuhd, in the times of abstinence, where they were focused more on the hereafter, they would just cook one type of a meal. Right? They would just cook one type of a meal. Now, if somebody wanted to do tawsi'ah on that day, if somebody wanted to be more expansive in spending on that day, they may cook two meals, or they may have two meals cooked, or maybe three meals. But another way to do it is, instead of just using one type of lentil for a soup, like just pea soup, or just, you know, one type of bean soup, or one type of, you know, lentil soup, or whatever, you use a mixed soup. Which means that when you use that mixed soup, you're actually feeding your family from many different types of lentils. So maybe that's where there is this tradition of some people doing this, right, comes from. But again, it's not necessary, right? If somebody thinks it's necessary, I must do this particular thing on that day. Why didn't you guys make this particular type of dish? That becomes a huge problem. And likewise on Eid day as well, you know, when you have this tradition among certain cultures that you have to have this particular type of milk, right, that's made with what you call those vermicelli, right? Vermicelli, that again, I don't know what the origin of that is, right? I absolutely don't know what the origin of that is. If somebody feels like they want to drink it, okay, fine, they enjoy, you can drink it, that's not a problem. But to think that you must cook it on Eid and it's got a special, you know, virtue or reason, well, you need to know what the reason is and if there's a foundation for it. If you don't, then you don't do it, right? Unless you just do it for yourself. Right, that's the way these things normally work. So that's about Ashura. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq. It's next week. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tawfiq to fast this day, right, and encourage the children to fast as well. Because this was a day when they would encourage their children to fast as well, as related in a number of narrations. In fact, there's one narration which is related by Bukhari and Muslim from Rubayy' binti Mu'awwid ibn Afra. She says that after that, we used to fast it, and we used to make our children fast it as well. And then she says that we used to go to the masjid, and in order to keep their, divert their attention from the food, from feeling hungry, because these were young children, right? They don't know why they're missing their meal for, as such. Now, it's okay to miss a meal for a child once in a while. I mean, it's probably healthy for them, right? Not to do it too often in the sense that, you know, some children just don't want to eat anyway, right? But to make them miss the meal, what she relates is that we used to make these little things out of wool. So little toys, maybe out of wools, something to play with, like a clump of wool or something of that nature. And whenever they would feel hungry, we would give that to them so that they could play with that. So it would occupy them. There are a number of other ahadith about this as well. So it's actually, this one is a particular encouragement to make our children do the same as well. There's another narration that's related by Imam Tabarani, though it's a slightly weak narration, but Imam Tabarani relates it, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to, on the Ashura day, used to call his all the children that were being nursed by his daughter Fatima radiallahu anha, or anyone in his family, right? So any little child that was being brought up and nursed by breastfed by his family members, right? He would call them. He would have them come to him, and then he would put his saliva in their mouth. He would put his saliva in their mouth, and then he would say to the mothers that لا تُرْضِعُوهُمْ إِلَى اللَّيْلِ. Do not nurse them, do not give them any milk to drink until the night. Because his saliva that he put, the barakah of that, would keep them satiated until the night. So it's a good time to encourage our children to fast this day as well. So it's not just in the month of Ramadan, but we have these other milestones during the year as well. So again, I mean, this thing about wishing people the New Year Mubarak and all that kind of stuff, personally, I just don't see much of a basis to that. Because Muharram is one of the 4 months of that are considered to be sanctified months. It's not the only. We forget the other three. We just focus on this as the New Year starts. What difference does a New Year make? How is that going to change our life, a New Year? In fact, I think the time to make resolutions for us is Ramadan. Because that's when we actually go through a lot of physical change, you know, a lot of dietary change. So there is a change, and there's a lot of spiritual change as well. So then we can actually make certain resolutions. But I mean, New Year is just a kind of weird time, you know. It's just, I mean, just in the middle of, it's just the middle of the year, really. Depending on when you were born, I mean, it doesn't even come on your birthday as such, right? I mean, you're probably more, better off thinking on the day of your birth, you know, the anniversary of your birth, the birthday as such, to think about, you know, I've wasted all of these years of my life. I've spent all of these years of my life. Where am I going with this? It's probably, instead of celebrating it, it's a time to, you know, like birthdays, people celebrate it. Oh, I've lived for another year. I mean, as though you live for another year. You know, as though you just finished a assault course. You know, as though you just finished this major challenge. And, you know, it's got nothing to do with us. It's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that keeps us alive. Right? Yes, we can celebrate the fact that we've had a great year in terms of spirituality. Otherwise, we should be really thinking that what have I done during this last year? I'm 1 year older. That means I'm definitely one that much closer to the hereafter. So what should I be thinking about? Should I be blowing on a cake? Right? Or should I really be thinking about when my ruh will be taken out of my body? And how much more am I, more time do I have? Yes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given me these years. I must be thankful for what I've been able to do during this time to get into paradise and to build up my paradise for me. But what about all the time that I've wasted? What about all the bad things that I may have done? I mean, really, that's a time of reflection. But, you know, so we're not talking about whether birthday is halal or haram. That's totally irrelevant to what we're speaking about. What we're speaking about is what we really should be doing, because when the hereafter is our real life, where what we should be focused on. You know, it's like somebody, you know, you've got an investment, you're eventually going to go and retire there. Focus on that. No, I'm going to focus right now. I'm just going to enjoy as much, even though I have a bad retirement. Are we going to call that kind of a person foolish? Because we're going to think, well, why are you worried about your retirement, which is going to be forever? It's going to be eternal. And it's going to be directly related to what you do today. So why should we focus on today then, as opposed to then? We should only be focused today based on how it will project for us our retirement, our eternal retirement in the hereafter. And I think when you start thinking about that, you won't go around then asking, can I have a birthday cake on my birthday? You know, can I do a birthday for my child? And whatever the rest of it. And I think if we get our children to think that way as well, it won't be an issue. SubhanAllah, the other day was my birthday, so-called. I didn't even realize. My daughter came home and she goes, "It's your birthday today." I go, "Mashallah, I better start making tawbah. You know, I better start making tawbah because that makes me one year older from my death." And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be thanked that He's given me this life. He's given us this life and He's allowed us to live this much. He's given us the tawfiq to be Muslims, to be believers, and to do whatever we've been able to do so far. But may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us for all the shortcomings we've had. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make the remaining years that we have, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us a long life on Iman and make the last day of ours in this world the best of our days, not the worst of our days. Because really we should be looking back and thinking, how were we 10 years ago? Am I better off 10 years ago or am I better off right now? Am I getting progressively worse or am I getting better? That's really a reflection that we need to make. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq.
You are listening to Markaz al-Sahaba, the voice of Ahl-Sunnah wal-Jamaah.
And that was the virtues of the 10th of Muharram by Mufti Yusuf Abdul Rahman Mangera, and telling us the importance. Also, he mentioned he stressed upon the 9th and 10th and the 10th and 11th of Muharram, and we make dua. Allah Ta'ala gives us a hidayat and gives us a strength to keep fast on these days. You know, it's a beautiful, it's an important day in Islamic history. So inshallah, we make intention that we keep fast on those days, either the 9th or 10th or 10th or 11th, inshallah. We've got about 2 minutes left. Let me give you the rundown for the program that are to follow. Next up will be the news with Mulana Zaid Khan. Thereafter will be the bliss of marriage with Mulana Zaid Khan and Mufti Abdul Qadir Hussain Saab. Then from 12 to 1 will be Alpha Sinkosi. 1 o'clock will be our Dhuhr Azan. 5 past 1 to 1:30 will be the tafsir of Surah Anfal. 1:30 to 2 will be the repeat of the tafsir of Surah Ali Imran, verses 75 and 76. Thereafter, 2 to 3 will be Brother Yusuf Ali with the lunch break. 3 to 4 will be the repeat of this morning's Q&A and Mulana Musa Akhwadi's Nasiha. 4 to 5 will be the Urdu lecture. 4 to 5 will be the Urdu lecture. And then 5 to 7 will be Mulana Khali Yaqub. 7 to 7:30 will be the repeat of Mulana the Tafsir. 7 to 7:30 will be the repeat of the Tafsir you will hear at 1 o'clock. That will be the Tafsir of Surah Anfal. Then from 7:30 to 8 will be Mulana Dawood Sidat. 8 to 9 will be Medical Files with myself and Dr. Amin Melrose, who is a heart practitioner, and we're going to be discussing the importance of the vital organ, and that is the heart, and how to, if one has a heart attack, how to identify whether a person is having a mild heart attack, and what that was one of the discussions that we had. And that is the mild heart attack and how to treat, and also the foods that one should take to avoid any heart attack. So basically the topic for tonight will be on the heart, the most vital organ in the human body. And then that will take us up to 9 p.m. inshallah. 9 to 10 will be the repeat of this bliss of marriage. Then from 10 to 11 will be an English lecture. Thereafter, from 11 to 12, will be Sheikh Anwar Awlaki al-Shaheed, rahmatullah alayh. That is your lineup from now until 12 a.m. Fi amanillah, jazakallah khairan. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Next up is the news with Mulana Zahir Khan.
You are listening to Markaz al-Sahaba, the voice of Ahl-Sunnah wal-Jamaah.